May we be helped to commence our worship of God this afternoon by singing together hymn number 440. Hymn 440. Tune of King Sela 167. How sweet and awful is the place with Christ within the doors. While everlasting love displays the choicest of her stores. While all our hearts and all our songs join to admire the feast, each of us cry with thankful tongues, Lord, why was I a guest? Hymn 440, tune the King Sela, 167.
Thank you. let us read together from the Holy Word of God in the second epistle of Paul to Timothy. The second epistle of Paul to Timothy, read in the first and the last chapters, chapters 1 and 4. The second epistle of Paul to Timothy, read in chapters 1 and 4. Timothy 1. Paul, an apostle of Jesus Christ by the will of God, according to the promise of life which is in Christ Jesus, to Timothy, my dearly beloved son, grace, mercy, and peace from God the Father and Christ Jesus our Lord. I thank God, whom I serve from my forefathers with pure conscience, that without ceasing I have remembrance of thee in my prayers, night and day, greatly desiring to see thee, being mindful of thy tears, that I may be filled with joy. When I call to remembrance the unfeigned faith that is in thee, which dwelt first in thy grandmother Lois, and thy mother Eunice, and I am persuaded that in thee also. Wherefore I put thee in remembrance, that thou stir up the gift of God, which is in thee, by the putting on of my hands. For God hath not given us the spirit of fear, but of power, and of love, and of a sound mind. Be not thou therefore ashamed of the testimony of our Lord, nor of me his prisoner, but be thou partaker of the afflictions of the gospel according to the power of God, who hath saved us, and called us with an holy calling, not according to our works, but according to his own purpose and grace, which was given us in Christ Jesus before the world began, but is now made manifest by the appearing of our Saviour Jesus Christ, who hath abolished death, and hath brought life and immortality to light through the gospel, whereunto I am appointed a preacher and an apostle and a teacher of the Gentiles. For the which cause I also suffer these things. Nevertheless, I am not ashamed, for I know whom I have believed, and am persuaded that he is able to keep that which I have committed unto him against that day. Hold fast the former sound words which thou hast heard of me, in faith and love which is in Christ Jesus. That good thing which was committed unto thee, keep by the Holy Ghost which dwelleth in us. This thou knowest, that all they which are in Asia be turned away from me, of whom are Phygellus and Hermogenes. The Lord give mercy unto the house of Onesiphorus, for he hath oft refreshed me, and was not ashamed of my chain. But when I was in Rome, he sought me out very diligently and found me. The Lord grant unto him that he may find mercy of the Lord in that day. And in how many things he ministered unto me at Ephesus, thou knowest very well. Chapter 4. I charge thee therefore before God and the Lord Jesus Christ, who shall judge the quick and the dead at his appearing in his kingdom, preach the word. Be instant in season, out of season, reprove, rebuke, exhort with all longsuffering and doctrine. For the time will come when they will not endure sound doctrine, but after their own lust shall they heap to themselves teachers having itching ears, and they shall turn away their ears from the truth, and shall be turned unto fables. But watch thou in all things, endure afflictions, do the work of an evangelist, make full proof of thy ministry. For I am now ready to be offered, and the time of my departure is at hand. I have fought a good fight, I have finished my course, I have kept the faith. Henceforth there is laid up for me a crown of righteousness, which the Lord, the righteous judge, shall give me at that day, and not to me only, but unto all them also that love his appearing. Do thy diligence to come shortly unto me, for Demas hath forsaken me, having loved this present world, and is departed unto Thessalonica, impressions to Galatia, Titus unto Dalmatia. Only Luke is with me. Take Mark and bring him with thee, for he is profitable to me for the ministry. And Tychicus have I sent to Ephesus. The cloak that I left at Troas with Carpus, when thou comest, bring with thee, and the books, but especially the parchments. Alexander the coppersmith did me much evil. The Lord reward him according to his works. Of whom be thou ware also, for he hath greatly withstood our words. At my first answer no man stood with me, but all men forsook me. I pray God that it may not be laid to their charge. Notwithstanding, the Lord stood with me and strengthened me, that by me the preaching might be fully known, and that all the Gentiles might hear. And I was delivered out of the mouth of the lion, and the Lord shall deliver me from every evil work, and will preserve me unto his heavenly kingdom, to whom be glory for ever and ever. Amen. Salute Prissa and Aquila and the household of Mnesiphorus. Erastus abode at Corinth, but Trophimus have I left at Miletum sick. Do thy diligence to come before winter. Eubulus greeteth thee, and Pudens, and Linus, and Claudia, and all the brethren. The Lord Jesus Christ be with thy spirit. Grace be with you all. Amen. May the Lord bless his word unto us and help us to approach unto him in prayer. O thou great and holy Lord God, as we seek once more to draw near unto thee, we plead, Lord, thou wouldst draw near unto us in thy mercy. Remind us, Lord, how small we are compared to thee. Remind us, Lord, not only how small, but oh, how unworthy thou shouldst look upon us with the least degree of mercy. For we are sinners in thy sight, deserving only endless pain. But Lord, thou hast made known in the gospel that thou hast provided a way whereby sinners may be safe, whereby sinners may draw near unto thee with boldness to obtain mercy and to find grace to help in time of need. O Lord, truly the riches of thy mercy and thy grace are very great. We plead, Lord, this afternoon that thou wouldst bless us with that grace, that mercy once more. That, Lord, thou wouldst draw us near by the precious blood of Jesus, that we might find that peace which Jesus has made by his cross. Oh, that we might find, Lord, with thee, that union and that communion through Jesus Christ our Lord. We'd ask, Lord, thou wouldst bless the word that was before us this morning. Oh, that our plea might be this afternoon, Jesus' blood and Jesus' blood only. Lord, may we be seeking that sheltering place beneath the blood. Lord, that thou wouldst grant us that sweet consolation. Oh, the knowledge that it is that blood that speaks even now for us in heaven's high courts above, and from the curse has set us free. Lord, we'd ask that thou wouldst remember any, oh, that know not that shelter under the blood. Lord, we plead thou wouldst be convincing them of the solemnity of their state. Oh, that they are, Lord, not only an exposed, but, oh, an eternally lost place. Except it be for thy mercy and thy grace. Lord, we'd ask once more that thou wouldst be shedding abroad the love of Christ in the hearts of sinners. Take the things of Jesus, reveal them unto us by thy Spirit. May we know what it is to eat his flesh and drink his blood and find that life within us. We'd ask, Lord, that thou wouldst help us once more as we enter into thy house. May we come, Lord, hungry and thirsty. May we come seeking after righteousness, and may we prove the fullness of the blessing that, Lord, thou wilt fill. Oh, the poor thou wilt not send empty away. But Lord, that thou wouldst be working that miracle of grace once more in our midst this afternoon, that the blind may see, the deaf may hear, the lame may walk, that the poor might have the gospel preached unto them. Keep us, Lord, once more as we are about holy things. Sanctify our hearts and our minds. Cast out the buyers and the sellers. Oh, may we see no man save Jesus only. Give help, Lord, once more in the preaching of the word. Pour in that there might be that pouring out. Keep, Lord, the door of our lips. Help us to speak faithfully according to thy word. May we hold nothing back, Lord. May we shun not to declare the whole counsel of God. And oh, we'd ask, Lord, this day that the ministry might be blessed here. There might be signs following the preaching of the word. That evidence, Lord, oh, this day has been of thy appointment, and that thou hast been pleased to bless it with the power of thy Spirit. Lord, we'd ask that thou wouldst give help once more in the desk, in the giving out of the hymns. And to each one that gets gathered, Lord, thou knowest how they've come. Those that come feeling needy, Lord, hungry. Satisfy them. Any, Lord, that come in, full of themselves, no need of thee. Any that do not understand why they've gathered together. Oh, we'd ask, Lord, thou wouldst be found to them that seek thee not. Thou wouldst seek and save the lost. Remember, Lord, our aged friend, be with her in the pathway she has to walk in at this time. And if it could be thy good pleasure, grant a speedy return to her own home. Be, Lord, with each family and household represented here. Give grace and wisdom to parents and grandparents, the bringing up of the rising generation according to thy good pleasure. Lord, we plead thou wouldst bless the children and young people, keep their hearts and minds. Oh, be teaching them of Jesus, their need of him. Lord, we'd ask thou wouldst remember my servant wherever he labours this day and bless him, and bring him back in peace and safety at the appointed time. We'd ask that thou wouldst remember thy church here, Lord. Cause it to increase. Not only, Lord, in numbers, but in love, in union. Oh, that they might know, Lord, that it growth in grace, individually, and in the knowledge of the Lord Jesus Christ. And that growing individually in grace, they might find that that increase in grace and union within the church. Lord, we'd ask that thou wouldst bless the ministry here week by week. Oh, we plead, could it be thy good pleasure that thou wouldst grant them a pastor according to thine own heart. Lord, that thou wouldst settle over them one to go in and out among them. Oh, the things, Lord, which have wreaked havoc among them. Oh, thou knowest all, Lord, nothing has come to pass by chance. May we yet see, Lord, thy overruling grace and all things working out, rather for the furtherance of the gospel. Oh, Lord, who can say unto thee, what doest thou? Thy ways are too deep for wisdom as line to sound. Ah, Lord, we cannot see the end from the beginning, but thou knowest all. Help us to keep our eyes, Lord, fixed upon Jesus, and there our hopes to stay. And oh, that he would make his goodness pass before us in the way. Be with us, Lord, in the week of time we've entered into. Bless the service here tomorrow and the prayer meeting on Friday. Bless thy servant expected, Lord, to minister unto them, grant him journey and mercies. May he come with the word of the Lord. May I thus, saith the Lord, abide upon the word. Gather, Lord, the friends together, and may they prove it is a day of the Son of Man. We'd ask, Lord, that thou wouldst grant us grace to know and to do thy will tomorrow. Go before us, Lord, in the remainder of our short and uncertain lives. Prepare us for our end. Be daily reminding us this world is not our home. Oh, that we might seek the Lord while he may be found and call upon him while he is near. May we find, Lord, this day that peace, that shelter beneath the precious blood of Jesus. Remember, Lord, the bereaved and sanctify the solemn dispensation of death to each one, Lord, that hears of it. And oh, we plead, Lord, that thou wouldst raise up more servants in Zion. Where, Lord, thou dost remove servants, oh, that thou wouldst send forth more preachers into the vineyard. Lord, that thou wouldst raise up more pillars in the church, praying brethren, mothers in Israel. Glorify thy name, Lord, within our land. Have mercy upon our land. Remember our leaders, Lord, this day. Bring us to repentance. Cause us to be turned. Oh, if thou, Lord, shouldst turn us, we shall be turned. Have mercy on thy one true church, each cause of truth, Lord, round about. Those, Lord, that walk in the pathway of encouragement, we would rejoice with those that rejoice. Lord, help us to sorrow with those that sorrow. May we know that union and communion of the saints. May we be enabled to walk together in love, to bear one another's burdens, Remember, Lord, the churches which we associate together. Oh, bring us, Lord, to an end of ourselves and an end of anything man would glory in. Oh, that our glory might be again in the Lord Jesus Christ, in the Lord Jesus Christ alone. Remember, Lord, thy persecuted people, thy people in the far off corners of the earth, those, Lord, that suffer famine and warfare, those that and suffer natural disasters. We would, O Lord, remember those that gather in fear of their lives this day, those that are persecuted for thy name's sake, any expecting death because of the witness of Jesus Christ. Lord, we plead that thou would strengthen thy persecuted church, strengthen with that glorious view. Oh, who are these and whence came they? These are they which came out of great tribulation, have washed their robes and made them white in the blood of the Lamb. Lord, remind us, oh, the great favour that we have, religious and civil liberty, being able to gather together without fear of persecution, without fear, Lord, of our lives. Oh, how much we take for granted, Lord, how we settle down. Oh, how quickly we become hardened under thy mercies. Oh, we plead, Lord, that thou wouldst remind us we deserve nothing. Oh, make us see, Lord, even this day, the fullness of thy love, thy grace and thy mercy towards us. Help us, Lord, to truly come. Oh, to confess thou art our all. To acknowledge, Lord, thy exceeding greatness and thy goodness which is to us, Lord. Lord, we ask that thou wouldst lengthen out thy patience and thy grace unto us. Oh, have mercy upon us, Lord. Bring back the backsliders. Oh, captivate our wandering hearts this afternoon. Lord, we plead that thou wouldst give us submission to thy most holy will. Give us that desire, Lord, what will thou have me to do? Oh, make us willing, glorious Lamb, to suffer all things for thy sake. Oh, but Lord, that thou wouldst still lead on. Oh, that we might hear this day the voice of the Good Shepherd, and that thy sheep might hear thy voice. Oh, that thou wouldst know them, that we might follow thee. Lord, we'd ask that thou wouldst be with us now. Help us to sing thy praise. Ah, Lord, thou art worthy to be praised. Oh, thy glorious goodness, thy grace exceeding abundant, thy faithfulness, Lord, oh, which knows no bound. Lord, how far short we come. Oh, how can we approach? But alone upon the grounds of free mercy in Jesus Christ. Oh, for the glories of the Saviour, for the efficacy of his person and death. Oh, we plead, Lord, this afternoon that praise might wait for thee in Zion. Be with us now, forgive us of all our sins. Grant help, Lord, in preaching and in hearing. Help us to worship thee. May Jesus Christ be first, last, and all in all. Wash us truly, Lord, from all our iniquities. Oh, purge us with hyssop, we shall be clean. Wash us, and we shall be whiter than snow. We'd ask all for Jesus Christ's sake. Amen.
The notices for the opening week are that tomorrow we hold our anniversary service to commence at 6 p.m. at which Mr. Timothy Pocock is engaged to preach. And there will be no service on Tuesday evening. On Friday we hold our monthly prayer meeting. And next Lord's Day, Mr. Graham Cotton is engaged to preach both morning and evening. The ordinance of the Lord's Supper will, God willing, be observed during that evening service. On Monday, the 5th of June, a church meeting has been arranged to commence at 6:30 p.m. The collections and donations for the month amounted to, in the general fund, £2,105.30. and in the benevolent fund £40. We do desire to acknowledge the Lord's provision for this house of prayer, and also to thank the friends for their willing giving. May we now be helped to continue our worship, singing together hymn number 471, hymn 471, to the tune Sarah, number 63. Prepare me, gracious God, to stand before thy face. Thy Spirit must the work perform, for it is all of grace. Hymn 471, tune Sarah, 63.
The Lord had helped me this afternoon and grant you prayerful attention. I'll direct you to a text in the second epistle of Paul to Timothy, chapter 1, and read in the 12th verse. the second epistle of Paul to Timothy, chapter 1, and read in the 12th verse. For the which cause I also suffer these things. Nevertheless, I am not ashamed, for I know whom I have believed and am persuaded that he is able to keep that which I have committed unto him against that day. For the which cause I also suffer these things, nevertheless I am not ashamed, for I know whom I have believed and am persuaded that he is able to keep that which I have committed unto him against that day. Paul is writing his last letter. The divines are all agreed that this is the last epistle that Paul wrote, as he is in prison, expecting any time to be taken to his death. He was, as we read together in the 4th chapter, ready to be offered. The time of his departure is at hand. I fought a good fight, I finished my course, I kept the faith. He had this hope that henceforth there was laid up for him a crown of righteousness, which the Lord, the righteous judge, shall give me at that day. And not to me only, but unto all them also that love his appearing. The early church was a persecuted church. They lived in the face of death. The Apostle Paul speaks of dying daily. Not only does he speak concerning that inward dying daily to self, but he reads, gives that list of tribulations and troubles he passed through in writing to the Corinthian church. Oh, friends, the early church did not have it easy. And compared to the days in which we live, oh, how easy we have it. But friends, in measure, how small is our faith compared to the faith that we read of in this verse. I know whom I have believed and am persuaded that he is able to keep that which I have committed unto him against that day. Now, the whole emphasis of our text this afternoon is against that day. What day is the Apostle Paul speaking of? Well, he's speaking of that same day that we read of in the 4th chapter. Oh, that day which when the Lord would give him that crown of righteousness. And when was Paul to receive that crown of righteousness? Well, firstly in death. Oh, the moment of death for the Lord's people, their soul enters immediately into glory. We read of the spirits of just men made perfect. Oh, friends, we cannot really conceive it, but there at death, the souls of the Lord's people, they enter into the fullness of that kingdom and that crown. But that is not the last day. And we read here in that 8th verse of the 4th chapter, the righteous judge who shall give me of that day. And ultimately, oh, there is that day, the Lord is coming again. We die, our soul enters into glory if we're one of the Lord's people. If we're found sheltering beneath that blood, but our body laid in the ground. Oh, friends, and what did it lay in the ground for? To wait the day when the Lord will come again. This same Jesus, said the angels to the disciples as they stood looking up into heaven, when Jesus ascended into glory, this same Jesus, oh, in likeness, the same likeness, he's coming again. He's coming as a righteous judge, to judge the earth in equity, in righteousness, to separate the sheep from the goats. Oh, to receive his people unto himself, and to give unto them that crown of glory. That day of which the patriarch Job spoke of, I know that my Redeemer liveth, and shall stand on the earth for the latter day. No worms destroy my flesh, oh, yet he believed that he would see God. That which I have committed unto him against that day. Oh, friends, this day speaks of the day of death, the day of separation. The day when, oh, our soul enters into its eternal destiny. The day when, as the tree falleth, so shall it lie. It speaks more fully of that day when the Lord will come again. When he will separate between the sheep and the goats and receive his people unto himself. The Apostle Paul had that which he looked forward to. That crown of righteousness, that hope beyond the grave, that no man could take from him. And this is what kept the Apostle Paul steady in the midst of persecution. Steady in facing death. You know, friends, you read this letter and what do you find? peace. This is a man on death row. This is a man that is in prison and not knowing. Oh, when the sound of the key shall sound in the door, and when the jailer shall come in to take him to the lions, when the jailer shall come in to take him into the arena to be put to death for his faith in Jesus Christ. And yet, friends, we don't find any quaking. We don't find any fears. Oh, you read through this epistle and you find this same measure. I know in whom I have believed. Oh, friends, here is a quiet confidence. The Apostle Paul is writing to Timothy. And what a different state Timothy appears to be in. Oh, as the Apostle writes to him in this chapter, he says, don't be ashamed. Don't be ashamed of the testimony of our Lord, nor of me as prisoner. Was Timothy having second thoughts? Here was Paul, his spiritual father in the faith. Here was Paul, his spiritual mentor, in prison, expecting to die for the faith. Oh, friends, lesser men. Oh, are they not filled with fear? Are they not filled with those questions? Should I give up my faith? Should I hide away? Oh, the Apostle Paul says, no. When I call to remembrance, oh, the unfeigned faith that is in thee, which dwelt faith first in thy grandmother Lois, thy mother Eunice, and I am persuaded that in thee also, wherefore I put thee in remembrance, thou stir up the gift of God, which is in thee by the putting on of my hands. For God hath not given us a spirit of fear, but of power, and of love, and of a sound mind. Oh, friends, what is that sound mind? What is that sound mind? It means this. Oh, when trouble comes, the Lord's people remain unmoved. It's not in us by nature. We're fearful creatures. Oh, we're troubled by these things. It's only by grace. And this gift given by grace, the power of a sound mind. Oh, the Lord is good, a stronghold in the day of trouble. Oh, friends, do you know that sound mind? Oh, that which keeps your mind, even in the midst of the greatest trouble, faith in Jesus Christ. And that's where the Lord's people are to look. And that's where the apostle is looking. And that's where the apostle encourages Timothy to look. Timothy, look to the end. Look to the end. Don't look to what's between. Look to the end. You know, friends, that's where the Lord's people continually go wrong. We find this through the Word of God. You know, when the children of Israel stood on the borders of the Promised Land, they asked Moses that he would send spies into the land. Why did they want to send spies? So they might know the way. They wanted to know the way. Oh, friends, what unbelief. God had brought them out of the land of Egypt. He'd gone before them in the midst of the camp of Israel, the fiery, cloudy pillar. He led them all their journey through, and now on the borders of the land, they think that somewhat, oh, the last step, he's going to leave them. He's going to fail them. He's not going to guide them into the promised land. Oh, they put forth the arm of flesh. They go to natural reason. They say, we must find out the way. Oh, friends, they're filled with fear and filled with unbelief. The unbelief had already begun, you know, before the spies brought back the report. The Lord acceded to their request. Oh, as we read in the Psalms, he granted their request and sent leanness into their souls. Ah, friends, he allowed those spies to go up to see the way. They brought back that report. Oh, it separated the camp of Israel, didn't it? Two on one side. Caleb and Joshua. And all the rest of Israel on the other side. Oh, they're giants. The way is too hard. We're going to fail. We're going to fall. The Lord's brought us this far and now we're going to die in the wilderness. But Caleb says, no, we shall go up. We shall take the land. Oh, don't fear. Oh, friends, why was Caleb filled with faith? Why was he not filled with fear? Because Caleb wasn't worried about the way. Caleb was rested upon the promise. The promise that we spoke of this morning. God had promised Abraham, Isaac and Jacob that the land would be theirs. Could the promise fail? Hadn't failed them yet. Wasn't going to fail them now. Caleb rested on past experience. He that has helped me hitherto will help me all my journey through and give me daily cause to raise fresh Ebenezers to his praise. Caleb had seen the fiery, cloudy pillar. He'd seen the provision of manna in the wilderness. He'd seen the rivers of waters which followed them. He'd seen the quails. Ah, oh, friends, he'd seen the goodness of God to them. God wasn't going to fail them now. Oh, of course they were going to be able to take the land. He that is with us is more than they that he that be against us. Ah, oh, friends, Caleb, you see, in looking backwards, wherever the Lord's people look backwards, they'd always look forward in hope. Oh, why? Because looking backwards, what is the hand they see? The hand of God that's guided and fed and kept till now. Oh, that same hand which will not now let us go. Caleb believed they would be brought into the promised land. But you see, those that were concerned about the way, they fell in the wilderness. They fell in the wilderness. We find exactly the same in the disciples in the upper room. You know, Jesus tells them those things which cause them great grief. He tells them that one is going to betray them. He tells them that Peter is going to deny him. Oh, they're filled with sorrow. Let not your heart be troubled. Believe in God, believe also in me. He tells them in his Father's house are many mansions. And what's the first question they ask? Thomas said unto him, Lord, we know not whither thou goest, and how can we know the way? How can we know the way? Oh, friends, what is Thomas concerned about? How am I going to get there, Lord? How am I going to get there? Jesus tells them in the 16th chapter, he says to them, you've been asking the wrong question. Oh, he says, none of you have asked. But now I go my way to him that sent me, and none of you asketh me, whither goest thou? Now you may say, well, that's just what Thomas has asked him. No, friends. Thomas is only concerned about the way. Oh, whither goest thou? Lord, what way are you going? What way are you going? How am I going to get there? Jesus says, none of you have asked about the place that I'm going to. Oh, what is Jesus saying? He's saying this. Our disciples, don't worry about the way. Don't worry about tomorrow. Don't look at the future. Look to me. Look to the place where I've gone. Keep your eyes all fixed on me. You'll be brought safely through. I am the way, the truth and the life. No man cometh to the Father but by me. Oh, we see it in picture form, don't we? There upon the sea. Oh, the winds and the waves. And Jesus comes to the disciples. And Peter says, Lord, bid me come to thee upon the water. Ah, friends, all his time his eyes are fixed on Jesus. He walks on the waves. But as soon as he begins to worry about the way, as soon as he begins to look at the winds and the waves about him and ask the question, how on earth am I going to get to Jesus? He begins to sink. Oh, friends, that is the secret, isn't it? To keep our eyes on Jesus fixed. And there our hopes to stay. Oh, friends, it's to look to the end. To look to the end. To look to the promised land. Oh, don't worry about the way. He that has made my heaven secure will here all good provide. While Christ is rich, I can't be strong. I can't be weak. What can I? I can't be poor. What can I want besides? Oh, friends, what is Paul saying to Timothy here? Timothy, don't be filled with fear. Don't worry about what's going to happen to me. Don't worry about what's going to happen to you tomorrow. Don't worry. Even down to the end. Leave it all in my hands. But look to that day. Look to the glorious expectation which God has given us by faith in Jesus Christ. Look to that trust which is committed unto him. That's where I'm looking. That's what Paul is saying to Timothy. Oh, I would stir you up that you might be like me. Here I am at the end. I don't know how the end is going to come. I don't know when it's going to come. So many unknowns. Oh, I know this. If I began worrying about them, oh, they'd eat me up. But I don't worry about them. I've got this consolation. I've got this that I'm looking forward to. Oh, I know whom I have believed and am persuaded that he is able to keep that which I have committed unto him against that day. And nothing can take that from me. Ah, the lions in the arena cannot take the crown that is promised me in glory. Oh, the gladiator's spear can't separate me from the throne which is promised me in glory. No, oh, he's promised. He's gone to prepare a place for me. He's promised me a crown. Oh, not only to me, but to all them who love his appearing, to all them that are looking for him, to all them who have their expectations set on heaven, to all those who are looking to Jesus. This is the burden again of Paul's ministry to the Hebrews. Oh, the Hebrews were a people that began to look back in persecution. They thought they'd be better giving up the newfangled teaching of Christianity and going back to Judaism, going back to temple worship. Oh, they'd suffered less persecution that way. But Paul tells them, oh, remember those. Remember your fathers who fell in the wilderness because of this same problem. Oh, in the midst of difficulty, in the midst of trouble, they looked to their difficulties, they looked to their troubles instead of resting upon God, and they fell in the wilderness. Oh, let us therefore fear lest a promise being left us of entering into rest, any of us should seem to come short of it. Oh, friends, what is the purpose of that catalogue in Hebrews 11? Ah, friends, what is the characteristic of all of those saints that are mentioned in Hebrews 11? It's in our text. I know, whom I have believed and am persuaded, he is able to keep that which I have committed unto him against that day. Oh, faith made them venture. By faith, Abraham left Ur of the Chaldees, went out not knowing whither he went. By faith, Moses forsook the pleasures of Egypt, choosing rather to suffer affliction with the people of God. Oh, friends, by faith, I know whom I have believed and am persuaded. Ah, friends, it brought them safe to glory. What does the apostle then say? He says this, let us therefore, oh, seeing we're compassed about with so great a cloud of witnesses, let us lay aside every weight and the sin which doth so easily beset us. Let us run with patience the race that is set before us, looking unto Jesus, the author and the finisher of our faith. Oh, you know, friends, those things that cause us to look to self, those things that cause us to look to tomorrow. The hymn writer says this, be still, my soul, these anxious cares to thee are burdens, thorns and snares. They cast dishonour on thy Lord and contradict his gracious word. Oh, friends, how serious those things are. They cast dishonour on thy Lord and contradict his gracious word. Oh, friends, if we really understood what that meant, oh, how grievous to God. His word is always true. God who cannot lie. But our unbelief, our fears about tomorrow, our shakenness in the day of trouble, oh, it casts dishonour on our Lord. It contradicts his gracious word. Has he not said? Has he not passed that promise that the Lord's people will overcome at last? Oh, when I see the blood, I will pass over. Nothing can change that. Oh, friends, it's to that blood we must look. It's to that prospect. It's to the end of the covenant. Oh, it's to the covenant ordered in all things and sure. Though my house be not so with God. Oh, friends, often we look to our house. We want our house to be sorted out. Oh, we would be perfect. If only we could be perfect. If only I could cease from sin, I'd have some hope and comfort. But oh, friends, no. The Lord will never give you room for hope and comfort in yourself. But you have to rest on that which is outside of you. You have to rest upon the blood. Oh, which speaks to you in heaven. You have to rest on the everlasting covenant ordered in all things and sure. And that's where the apostle is resting. Oh, upon him, to which he had committed those, which I have committed unto him, those things. Oh, able to keep that which I have committed unto him against that day. Oh, that in that hour of death, in that moment when his life should be taken from him, oh, that he had a trust that could not be broken. He had a salvation which was sure. He had a promise. Oh, by two immutable things in which it is impossible for God to lie, the oath and the promise. Paul knew that strong consolation which could not be taken from him. And therefore he was not shaken. He was not shaken. No, he was ready to depart. Oh, ready to be offered. The time of his departure was at hand. Oh, Timothy. Look to the place where I'm having to look. That's the only place of comfort. That's the only place of safety. That's the only thing which will do in death. Oh, to be brought to look out of self. To lay aside every weight. the sin which does so easily beset us, all those things that come between us and Jesus, which come between us and his blood, oh, to lay them to one side and to look alone to Jesus. For I know whom I have believed, and am persuaded that he is able to keep that which I have committed unto him against that day. Oh, for this cause, says the apostle, I suffer these things. I'm not ashamed. I'm not troubled. I'm not destroyed by them. No, why? Oh, because he's looking to that day and the certainty that he has against that day. Oh, friends, what is he looking to? He's ultimately looking to that which we were trying to consider this morning, the blood. The shed blood, the finished work of Jesus Christ. Oh, he was resting upon another's life, upon another's death. He's resting upon the work of the Lord and Saviour Jesus Christ. He died for him. Oh, it was not him that lived anymore, but it was Christ that liveth in thee, as the apostle says. And therefore, oh, he could say, with the Lord Jesus Christ, those glorious words, I am the resurrection and the life. He that believeth in me, though he were dead, yet shall he live. And whosoever liveth and believeth in me shall never die. Believest thou this? Paul could say, yes, 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 Lord. Oh, by faith, I believe. I believe. Although my life be taken from me, nothing can destroy my soul. Although my life be taken from me, nothing can destroy that fact. That Christ is coming again and will raise my dust. Oh, that mortality shall put on immortality and corruption shall put on incorruption. And though I know not what I shall be, yet I know that when he shall appear I shall be like him. And I shall see him. That's what Paul is persuaded of. That's what he's committed. Oh, himself into the hands of his God. Oh, he's resting alone upon the finished work of the Lord and Saviour Jesus Christ. Resting alone upon that shed blood of the Lamb of God. Oh, which is able to take away all sin. That which I've committed unto him against that day. Well, friends, we wanted to come for a moment to consider faith. Our text this afternoon is really all about faith. And it speaks about faith in a glorious way. And if I was to ask some of you, perhaps you younger people, what is faith? What does the Word of God mean when it says faith? Well, I can remember it puzzled me for a long time. What is faith? What does it mean to believe? You've been brought up to know the truth. You've sat under the preaching of the Word of God. Oh, you may be able to tell me everything that I said this morning. But oh, what is it to have faith? What is it to have faith? Well, the old reformers used to say that faith had three things. And we find the three things in our text this afternoon very clearly. The first thing in faith is knowledge. Faith is never a leap in the dark. Oh, friends, faith can say with the Apostle Paul, I know, I know. I know whom I have believed. Faith is never ignorant. Oh, friends, if faith is ignorant, then it's got nothing to rest upon. Nothing to rest upon. That's not faith. That's fatalism. Fatalism. Oh, friends, has nothing to rest upon. It simply trusts itself into the nothingness and hopes it all will come out well. But oh, friends, faith is not like that. Faith rests upon knowledge. I know whom I have believed. I know whom I have believed. Oh, but friends, knowledge itself is not faith. Knowledge itself is not faith. Oh, you may know the Word of God from Genesis to Revelation, but it's not faith. You may know many things, but you may not believe them. If I can just give you an example, you may have been taught at school the theory of evolution. But I hope that if I ask you, do you believe it, you'll say no. Oh, do you see the difference between knowledge and faith? Oh, you may know many things, but you don't believe them. But faith believes what it knows. I know whom I have believed. I know whom I have believed. Oh, the reformers called this assent, the assent of faith. It doesn't only know, but it believes what it knows. It assents to it. It says that it is the truth. Oh, friends, can I ask you this afternoon, have you got that assent in your soul? Oh, the truths we are trying to consider this morning, that God sent his own dear Son into this world to suffer and to bleed and to die for sinners. Oh, have you been enabled by the Holy Spirit teaching you, convincing you of that truth, that you can say, oh, not only do you know it, but you believe it, it's true. You believe it to be true. Yes, the holy and the just, the sovereign of the sky, stoop down to wretchedness and dust, the guilty worms might rise. Oh, friends, what a mercy it is this afternoon. If you can't only say, I know, but you can say, in whom I have believed. Oh, friends, that which you have been taught, that which you've heard preached from the pulpit, that which you've read in the Word of God. Oh, you don't only know it, but you're enabled to say you believe it. Oh, it's got the assent of faith. You receive it as the truth. But that, oh friend, that in itself is not faith. Faith has a third constituent, and that is called the trust of faith. Ah, the resting of faith, the committal of faith. You see, friends, faith is a holy activity. Faith is an active principle in the soul. It's not only knowledge, dead knowledge. As is often said, oh, dry doctrine cannot save us. Mere knowledge, oh, friends, that's not faith. And we may know things and say we believe in them. We may give our assent to them. We may say we believe it to be true. But, oh, friends, if it never changes our course of action, if it never brings us to trust, if it never brings us to rest, if it never gives peace and joy in believing, then it's dead. And knowledge, even knowledge with assent, can be dead. But faith is living. And we find here that assent of faith, I have believed, for I know, the knowledge of faith, whom I have believed, the assent of faith. But here we find the trust of faith, and I'm persuaded that he is able to keep that which I have committed unto him against that day. Oh, friends, where has faith brought the Apostle Paul to rest his whole weight upon the blood and the righteousness, the person and the work of the Lord and Saviour Jesus Christ? That's faith. That's faith. Oh, friends, the ear of faith hears. Hears that Jesus Christ has come into this world to save sinners. Oh, friends, it gives assent. It says, it's true, Jesus Christ has come into this world to save sinners. And where does that bring you? Oh, as the Holy Spirit works in your soul to convince of sin. Ah, friends, it makes you flee to Jesus, to have to rest upon him. It makes you cry, oh, God, be merciful to me, a sinner. Lord, remember me when thou comest into thy kingdom. You see, there is faith in the dying thief. He had knowledge. Jesus had a kingdom. He believed it was true. He believed that Jesus was going into that kingdom. Oh, he gave assent to it. And there's the venture of faith. There's the trust of faith. Lord, remember me. Lord, remember me when thou comest into thy kingdom. Oh, friends, how vital it is that we have this real living faith. It is the gift of God. Ah, friends, it's not of ourselves. It's worked out in us by the Holy Spirit. No man can say that Jesus Christ is Lord but by the Holy Ghost. It was the Holy Spirit's work and nothing less that enabled the Apostle Paul to say, for I know whom I have believed and am persuaded that he is able to keep that which I have committed unto him against that day. Now, friends, it was the work of the Holy Spirit that brought Paul to rest wholly upon Jesus Christ, upon his merits. Now, friends, where are you resting this afternoon? Where are you resting? That's the evidence of faith. That's the evidence of faith. Oh, has faith brought you to rest alone upon Jesus? Is Jesus' blood your only plea? Is he your only hope? Oh, friends, can I go a step further? Have you got quiet confidence? Or have you got that peace that comes from resting alone upon Jesus? Or as you prove his strength underneath the everlasting arms, arms that will not let you go, love, oh, firm as the everlasting hills. Ah, that's what the apostle knew, which I have committed unto him against that day. What did the apostle committed unto him? His whole weight. His eternal destiny. Life beyond the grave. Ah, friends, he's come. And what a beautiful description it is of faith. A guilty, weak and worthless worm. On thy kind arms I fall. Be thou my strength, my righteousness, my Jesus and my all. That's faith. That's faith. Our friends falling into the arms of a strong Saviour. Oh, have you ever come there? Have you ever come there? Is that where you're resting this afternoon? Ah, friends, do you only seem to sink lower? But where are you sinking into? The everlasting arms. Ah, friends, is that where you're having to look to this afternoon? To a strong Saviour? Is faith enabled by measure to say, I know, in whom I have believed and am persuaded that I am able to keep that which I have committed unto him against that day? We just want to make one point, friends, before passing on. Oh, we do want to emphasise this. We've lived in days where knowledge has been cast down as though it's something which is unnecessary. It's not what you know. It's what you feel. Well, in one sense, friends, fear, knowledge comes by experience. The two things cannot be separated like that. But the Word of God always puts that emphasis on the fact that faith rests upon knowledge. And you know, if you have little knowledge of Jesus this afternoon, if you have little knowledge of God, your faith will be very small. You haven't got much to trust in. But oh, where you sit under a ministry which is teaching, where you desire to be taught, oh friends, where you give yourself to reading the Word of God with a desire that the Lord would teach you and lead you in the truth, where you read good books with that desire that the Lord would be increasing your knowledge, oh friends, the Lord is pleased to bless those means. He's pleased to bless the preaching to the strengthening of the faith of his people. And how does he do it? As he leads them into the truth. The truth it is in Jesus. Oh, as through the preaching of the word, blessed be your soul. You're given larger sights of your glorious God. The eternal God which is your refuge as you're led more and more into the fullness of the efficacy of the precious blood of Jesus Christ. To see that the strength of that blood, it rests upon the fact that he is a God-man. There is the power in the blood, able to cleanse from all sin. Able to cleanse from all sin. Oh, as you're led into the knowledge of the faithfulness of God. Ah, that he never changes. Oh, as the whole of the Old Testament proclaims the unchangeableness of the covenant. God had promised. Thousands of years had to pass by, but the promise was fulfilled in the fullness of time. Oh, a virgin shall conceive and bring forth a son. Thou shalt call his name Emmanuel. Ah, friends, you see, the whole of Scripture has been written to this end, given to us by God, that we might believe. The faith is strengthened as we're led into these truths, as knowledge is increased. Oh, as the Holy Spirit gives that assent within our soul, we believe. We believe this truth. We believe. This is the God we adore. Our faithful, unchangeable friend. Oh, this is the Saviour we're resting upon. This is the blessed Spirit whose work will be completed. Oh, kept by the power of God and nothing less, able to present us faultless. Oh, before the majesty which is on high, with exceeding joy. Ah, friends, as we have to rest upon that, to rest alone. I know whom I have believed and am persuaded that he is able to keep that which I committed to him against that day. Is your faith weak this afternoon? Is your faith weak? Oh, friends, seek after knowledge. Seek after the truth. Buy the truth and sell it not, says the Word of God. Ah, friends, seek a ministry which teaches you these things. Oh, seek that the Holy Spirit would teach you in his Word. Read his Word. Pursue after that knowledge. Ask that the Lord would bless it to this end, the strength in her faith, that you may be enabled to say with the Apostle, for I know whom I have believed and am persuaded that he is able to keep that which I have committed unto him against that day. Well, friends, we want to move on. We want to notice what Paul was resting upon. What was he looking to? It's described as a person, for I know who. Oh, friends, it's not that I know what I have believed. How often we say, how often I hear people say, I know what I believe. I know what I believe. Oh, they may say, I know what we believe. They talk about the church, the articles of faith. Ah, you know, friends, it's not what we believe. It's whom we believe in. Whom we believe in. We're not saved by a system of truth. We're saved by a living Saviour. By the person of the Lord and Saviour, Jesus Christ. Oh, friends, that's the comfort of faith. I know whom I have believed and am persuaded that he is able to keep that which I have committed unto him against that day. Oh, friends, this is a comfort. This is the comfort. A living Saviour. A living Saviour. You can't commit something to a dead corpse, you know. You can't give anything into the hand of a dead corpse. You can leave it resting on the top of a dead corpse, but you can't get the dead corpse to take it. Oh, friends, Paul is not trusting a dead Saviour. No. A once crucified, now risen again, ascended and glorified Saviour, whoever liveth, to make intercession for us, wherefore he's able to save unto the uttermost all them that come unto God by him. Oh, friends, that's the whole emphasis of the teaching of the Apostle Paul. The Saviour lives, no more to die. Ah, friends, he lives. He's living this afternoon. Because he lives, we shall live also, he says. Because he lives, he knows all about you. Our friends, a living person has knowledge. Our Saviour has knowledge. He knows all about you. Oh, he knoweth our down sittings and our uprisings. He understandeth our thoughts afar off. Have it deep. Have it dark. The place the Lord may have brought you into. Oh, friends, what a dark and a deep place Paul's in. In prison. In the dungeon. Hidden from sight of men. Forgotten by many. Oh, we read in that fourth chapter of all those who had forsaken him, those who were no longer with him, no man stood by him. Oh, forgotten by men, forsaken by men, but not forsaken by his Saviour. Jesus knew. Jesus knew. Our friends, he saw him. And not only did he know and see him, but he stood by him, didn't he? He stood by him. Oh, when no man stood by him. When no man stood by him. Jesus was with him, wasn't he? In the person of the Spirit. Notwithstanding, the Lord stood with me. The Lord stood with me and strengthened me, that by me the preaching might be fully known, and that all the Gentiles might hear. And I was delivered out of the mouth of the lion. I was delivered out of the mouth of the lion. The Lord stood by me. Oh, friends, only a living Saviour can stand by you this afternoon. Only a living Saviour can stand by you. Oh, is your faith in a living Saviour? Is your faith in a living Saviour? Oh, you see, friends, this is so important in the hour of death. There's coming a moment in the life of each one of us when we must die. Ah, friends, there we yield up all our strength in death. We have no power. We die. Oh, friends, but Jesus lives. Jesus lives. Oh, there, in that very moment of death. Ah, friends, as we have all power taken from us. Ah, but we're in the hands of a living Saviour. A living Saviour. This is Paul's consolation. Oh, I believe in one who is alive. Yea, and am alive forevermore. I am the Alpha and the Omega, the beginning and the ending. I was dead, but am now alive and alive forevermore. Ah, friends, it's he that stands in the midst of his church. In the midst of the seven golden candlesticks, who holds the seven stars, the ministers, in his hands, a living Saviour. Oh, and through him we shall be conquerors all ere long, and more than conquerors too, through him who loved us and gave himself for us. Our friend, a living Saviour, ever lives to make intercession for us. Oh, he's able to save. He's able to save. Oh, do you see, friends, why Paul need not worry about tomorrow? If all you've got is a scheme of doctrine, if all you've got is words to rest upon, then, friends, that's as far as some people's religion seems to go. They rest on words. They rest on mere doctrine, if I may use such a word. But, oh, you know, friends, true doctrine is a living person. The Saviour. He's a living Saviour. He's living this afternoon in heaven. There standing before the throne of the Majesty on high. And he's never ceasing to remember you before the throne of God. He's never ceasing now to point to your name upon his breast and spreading his wounded hands and saying, Father, I will these also thou hast given me, be with me where I am, they may behold my glory. That's his work. The work which he's living to do and which he does faithfully every moment. And oh, friends, it's a work which will never cease. It's a work which will never end. Oh, he lives to die no more. Oh, because he continueth ever, says the Apostle Paul. Because he continueth ever. Ah, because his priesthood cannot die. Because he continueth ever. Oh, wherefore he's able to save unto the uttermost all them that come unto God by him. Oh, what is the Apostle speaking of? All those who are brought to use this language, for I know, whom I have believed and am persuaded, he is able to keep that which I have committed to him against that day. All those who have to come, oh, pleading, a poor sinner but pleading for mercy for Jesus Christ's sake. For Jesus Christ's sake, he saves them to the uttermost. Saves them to the uttermost. Oh, friends, we can take that word in various senses, uttermost. It certainly means that he can save the farthest off sinner. Look unto me, all the ends of the earth, and be ye saved, he says. For I am the Lord. There is none else, a just God and a Saviour. Oh, he's able to save unto the uttermost in that sense. Ah, friend, he's able to save unto the uttermost. Since Jesus, having loved his own which were in the world, he loved them unto the end. Ah, friends, here is a promise, you see. Because the Saviour lives. He'll be with you tomorrow. Jesus Christ, the same yesterday, today, and tomorrow. He'll be with you tomorrow. Ah, friends, he'll be with you every step until the end. In death and in eternity to come, he'll never cease because he lives forever. Able to save unto the uttermost. Ah, friends, wherever that uttermost may be, whatever place you may be brought into before death, and we do not know, ah, what trouble we must have to pass through, what difficulty. Oh, how difficult it will be dying. Oh, friends, never underestimate dying, you know, even for the Lord's people. Oh, the Apostle says, doesn't he, the last great enemy is death. The last great enemy is death. But he must reign. He must reign till he has put all enemies under his feet. And the last great enemy is death. And when he has put all things under his feet, ah, friends, he shall reign forever and forever, able to save unto the uttermost. This is the one that Paul is committing himself into the hands of. Oh, friends, this is the one that Paul has known. Paul has known. Oh, Paul didn't know him, did he? By nature, Paul didn't know him. There on the Damascus road as that night shines, who art thou, Lord? Who art thou, Lord? I am Jesus of Nazareth, whom thou persecutest. Ah, friends, there was a day in Paul's life where he didn't know Jesus. He didn't know anything of his faith. But God in mercy began with him. Ah, Paul could say, couldn't he, by his own experience, no man can say that Jesus Christ is Lord, but by the Holy Ghost. But there you see, God worked in the heart of the Apostle Paul. He revealed unto him Jesus. Who art thou, Lord? I am Jesus. I am Jesus of Nazareth, whom thou persecutest. Oh, friends, where did it bring Paul? Lord, what will thou have me to do? What will thou have me to do? No man can say that Jesus Christ is Lord. But oh, where Jesus Christ is made known unto you, your prophet, your priest and your king, it will bring forth that language. Lord, what will thou have me to do? Jesus Christ, he was no longer the one that Paul could persecute. He was now Paul's Lord. Paul must be brought under him. Lord, what will thou have me to do? Not my will, but thy will be done. Ah, friends, Paul was brought into our text, you see, in his experience, for I know. This is the work of God. Oh, friends, can I ask you, has this day come in your life, when by the teaching of the Holy Ghost you have to say, for I know? You perhaps were brought up under the truth. You may have read many good books. You may have heard many good sermons. You may have known the truth through the system of doctrine. But oh, friends, it brought no hope against death. Brought no comfort against death. You did not need it. But oh, can you say that a day has come in your life where you can say, I know. Ah, whom I have believed. And oh, can we go on to say this and am persuaded that he is able to keep that which I have committed unto him against that day. Ah, friends, are you still resting on him? Are you still resting on him? That's where Paul's found, you see. Oh, the Lord's people have to pray, don't they? Never higher than thy feet. Never further than thy cross. Oh, to be found resting alone upon Jesus. Lose sight of Jesus and his cross, and soon we fall a prey. Ah, friends, do you know what that is? Are you like Timothy? Lost sight of Jesus? Heard of Paul? On death row for the sake of the gospel? His master? His father in Christ? You've heard of those who have departed from the way? Or have chosen an easier way? Possibly because of the fear of death, Damas, who hath left me? Or because he loved the present world? We're not told whether Damas loved the things of this world. Or, friends, whether in the face of death he clung on to life. You know, if you've got no sight of Jesus this afternoon, if he's hidden behind the clouds, you'll be clinging on to life. But oh, when Jesus reveals himself to you. Ah, friends, when your eyes are fixed on him, the sense in which, although the Christian does not just simply a desire to die, but you know then the experience of the Apostle Paul in Philippians being in a strait betwixt two, having a desire to depart, to be with Christ, which is far better. Nevertheless, knowing that there is that purpose why the Lord might keep him here. Needful. But have you got that glorious prospect of which the Apostle writes in the Corinthians? For we know. You see, friends, the certainty that the Apostle had. You read through the epistles, you'll find that the epistles, when Paul speaks of his experience, when he speaks of the person of Jesus, is all bound up in the words of our text this afternoon. For we know that if our earthly house of this tabernacle were dissolved, we have a building of God and house not made with hands, eternal in the heavens. For in this we groan, earnestly desiring to be clothed upon with our house which is from heaven, if so be that being clothed upon we should not be found naked. For we that are in this tabernacle do groan, being burdened, not for that we would be unclothed. Paul isn't an escapist. He's not simply desiring to escape the trouble. No, he would be made willing to gladly suffer all things for the name of Jesus Christ. But he has this knowledge that whatever he has to suffer, whatever Caesar, Nero may throw at him, Caesar cannot take away his God. He cannot take away his Saviour. He cannot take away the precious blood. And therefore he cannot take away that mansion in the Father's house. He cannot take away the crown. He cannot take away the glory. But that mortality might be swallowed up of life. Now he that has wrought for us the selfsame thing is God, who has also given unto us the earnest of the Spirit. Therefore we are always confident, knowing that whilst we are at home in the body, we are absent from the Lord. For we walk by faith, not by sight. We are confident, I say, and willing, rather, to be absent from the body and to be present with the Lord. Wherefore we labour, that whether present or absent, we may be accepted of him. For we must all appear before the judgment seat of Christ, that every one may receive the things done in the body according to that he hath done, whether it be good or bad. Friends, remember that this afternoon. Can we come bearing clothing? We must all appear before the judgment seat of Christ. Friends, if you're worried about what man may do to you in this life, if you're worried about persecution, if you're worried about trouble tomorrow, what is that compared to having to stand at that last great day before the judgment seat of Christ and to give an account for the deeds that are done in the body? Friends, how will you stand in that great day? Is your only hope in that blood we were speaking of this morning? And in the promise, when I see the blood, I will pass over you. Friends, can you come in, though tremblingly, with the Apostle Paul? I know whom I have believed, and am persuaded he is able to keep that which I have committed unto him against that day. Answer for me, my Lord. Answer for me. Friends, are you resting alone upon that blood, which will speak for you in heaven high courts above, and from the curse will set you free in Jesus' precious blood? Friends, do you know these things? Do you believe them? Are you so persuaded of them that you're resting upon them, come what may tomorrow? You can leave tomorrow in the Lord's hands, because you've got a prospect which is certain. You've got something to look forward to. Now, friend, you may say to me this afternoon, well, you preached high doctrine. Oh, friend, I can't preach any lower. I wouldn't preach any lower. I'm only preaching what the apostle wrote, what the word of God says. Oh, friend, I beseech you, don't settle down short anything of this. Ah, you know, friends, if faith is weak this afternoon, if your knowledge of those things is poor, oh, tomorrow won't be comfortable. Tomorrow will cause you all kinds of grief and all kinds of trouble. You'll be Mr. Fearing. Oh, friends, every cloud will seem to separate you from your God and you'll wonder where the scene will end. But ah, friends, if the Lord should reveal himself unto you, if he should teach you, if the Holy Spirit should give that precious assent within your soul and bring you as a poor, weak, worthless worm to fall into the arms of Jesus Christ, then, friend, you've got something to rest upon. The rock of ages which cannot move, and on the rock of ages founded, what can shake thy sure repose? Ah, not life nor death, things present nor things to come, principalities or powers. Ah, friend, nothing able to separate you from the love of God, which is in Christ Jesus. Oh, it will be well, it will be well, while life endure, and well when called to die. For the which cause I also suffer these things, nevertheless I am not ashamed. For I know whom I have believed and am persuaded that he is able to keep that which I have committed unto him against that day. Amen.
Let us conclude by singing together hymn 639, hymn 639, to the tune Hanover 807. Return to thy rest, my soul, and rejoice. Let Christ be thy boast, for thou art his choice. And though sin and Satan and their hellish guest do vex and dishearten, Jehovah's thy rest. Return then, my soul, to Jesus thy rest, by faith on him roll and lean on his breast. He will not deceive thee, his faithfulness prove. He never can leave thee till God is not love. Hymn 639, tune Hanover 807.
Oh.
Lord, forgive all that's been amiss in the preaching of thy word here this day, the worship of thy house. Bless, Lord, that which is in accordance to thy word. Oh, Lord, if we have not believed before, help us to begin today. Grant, Lord, that we might know, that we might have that assent to that knowledge. And, oh, Lord, that we might be brought to roll ourselves alone upon Christ, to know no other hope, no other resting place. Oh, but to find that Jesus Christ is a sweet and sure resting place, a place, where the waves cannot intrude. Part us, Lord, with thy blessing. Take us to our homes in peace and safety. Be with us throughout the remainder of thy day. In preaching, in hearing at home, help us to keep the day as unto thee. Prepare us, Lord, for our end. And oh, in that moment, may we prove that he in whom our hopes are fixed, oh, is eternal salvation. We'd ask that thou wouldst forgive us for all our sins. We'd ask it for Jesus Christ's sake. Now may the grace of the Lord and Saviour Jesus Christ, the love of God the Father, the fellowship and the communion of the Holy Spirit rest and abide with us each, both now and for evermore.